We'd like to welcome you in the Lord's name tonight to the Lord's house. And we trust that the Lord will bless our coming together tonight. It's our Missionary Sunday, and we're delighted to have along with us tonight our brother and sister. I think I pronounced your name several times wrongly, but I'll do my best to pronounce it. Snodgrass, is that right? Snodgrass. We got it right at the end. But I trust the Lord will bless you and your wife as you've come tonight to share with us about the work of God to which you've been called in the land of Scotland. And so we'll hear a little later about that this evening. Just emphasising the restrictions. You're tired hearing all of this, I know. Social distancing while entering and exiting the building and while in the building. Let's not drop our guard in regard to these things. Our session have decided that from now on that we will encourage the wearing of masks in the services. It's not compulsory for you to do that, but we recommend that you do, if possible, from now on. I know for some people this would be difficult. Please do not feel you have to if your health condition prevents you from doing that, or you feel claustrophobic or whatever. But we do encourage you to wear masks from now on in the services. And please keep that in mind as we move into the future. We're not going to be going on and on about it or stopping people at the door who haven't got a mask on. We're not doing any of that. But just please keep it in mind. So all of these restrictions, we're trying to keep people safe and into the future, so you'll appreciate that. Now tonight we will have a retiring offering for brother and sister for the work that you're going to hear about, and so that will be at the door, and there'll be a separate basket for the missionary offering, another basket for our general offerings. So please can you keep that in mind as you leave the service tonight. And then Wednesday, the Bible study and prayer meeting, 8 p.m. here in this hall. And we trust that you will join us. Survey of the New Testament will be continued. This week we're in John's Gospel. And we encourage you to come to pray. And we need to pray in these days in which we live. And then Friday night's our presbytery meeting in Martyrs for Elders. The presbytery will be held there for the foreseeable future, as it's easier for social distancing to keep everyone safe. All other church meetings and activities are kept under constant review. Please keep that in mind as well. Next Lord's Day, the family worship in the church, continuing Colossians chapter 3, the gospel service in the church hall here, and we're continuing in the miracles of Christ in John's gospel. The third miracle will be what we're at next Sunday evening. We commence the pre-church prayer meeting prior to the evening service. You can get up there to the youth room at about 20 past 6 to 6:45. We have that season of prayer. We encourage you to do that. The church annual report for 2019 is available as you leave the service tonight if you didn't pick it up this morning. Remember, this is 2019's report, and we're now nearer 2021. That's the way it is with the COVID and all the restrictions and hold-ups we've had this year. Could I mention also that the 11th of October is our harvest services here in the church and church hall. Do remember that, please. In the morning time, Reverend Nathan McVeigh from Dunmurry will be the preacher. In the evening time, Reverend Julian Patterson, Ballymagurney, will be the preacher, the special singers at those services. The special building fund is on Harvest Sunday, so there's no building fund next Lord's Day, but on the Harvest Sunday it will be the building fund. Normally we would have the Monday night harvest praise and supper, but restrictions this year means that we cannot have the supper and all of that and bring maybe a choir and people from all over the place, so we're not having that this year, unfortunately, but that's just for this year. Hopefully, we'll get back to normal at some stage. So please remember that. And again, it's not practical to do the decoration of the church the way we normally do, and people gathering for that. So again, we're just having a small decoration which has been looked after, and that can be transferred into the church hall then for the evening time, if that's the case. So if you want to put towards the offering anything you would be paying for, flowers, fruit and vegetables, that would be appreciated. Do remember those in our congregation who are laid aside. Today we've learned, I didn't know before today, that Mrs. Stewart is in hospital. Do remember her, please, in your prayers. Also, Mary McFadden took ill during the night or during yesterday and the night as well, and this morning into hospital, and she's waiting on surgery. So do please remember that situation. There are other ladies who are facing various procedures this week. Do remember them in your prayers. Some would not want their name mentioned, but please do remember them at the throne of grace and seek the Lord on their behalf even at this time. Please, that the Lord will touch them and heal them. Do especially remember at this time the need of our sister Irene McDowell's granddaughter Alice, just 15 years of age. She has to undergo very serious chemotherapy tomorrow, and then followed eventually by radiotherapy. And we please remember this young girl, just 15 years of age, that the Lord will put his hand upon her and heal her, but his as well restore her. Especially remember Eileen, we were talking to her on the phone today, very distressed about this situation, as you can imagine. So please remember that situation in your prayers. There are others that we need to pray for as well. Let's stand together as we pray. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we come into thy presence tonight in the peerless name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, O God, that we're here tonight, rejoicing in thy so great salvation. Lord, as we come tonight, we pray, our Heavenly Father, that you'd remember the great need that there is, even at this time. We lift our hearts to thee, O God, and pray that you would answer prayer. Lord, that you would draw near, O God, to give that grace and that help, even through this meeting tonight. We thank thee, O God, for this morning. We thank you for Reverend McMillan. We thank thee for the challenge in relation to Uganda. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless and that thou wilt undertake in a mighty way in the work there, in the work of the school, the work that goes on there in relation to the church and all the ministry that's going on there. Lord, we pray that thou wilt meet that need. Remember our brother Simon and his wife Hannah tonight as they've come amongst us. We thank thee for them. We thank you for saving them. We thank you for giving them a vision of thy work and to become engaged in the work of God to serve the Lord. And we pray that thou wilt bless them tonight, that thou wilt meet their need. And, O God, that the Spirit of God will be poured out upon them. And we pray that tonight they will have help as they speak to us. And, Lord, as they relate their calling to this work in the land of Scotland. We thank thee, O God, that we're hearing this morning about the work among the boys and girls. We're going to hear tonight again about this ministry. As we heard this morning, suffer the little children thou to say, come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And Father, we pray that you would use your servants in future days for your praise, for your honour, and for your glory. Look to thee, O God, tonight as we worship, as we meet together, that thou wouldst meet the needs of those that we've mentioned for prayer. O God, those in our congregation who and connected to it who need our prayers urgently. We think of Mary tonight. We pray for healing. We pray for that touch upon the body tonight. And we pray that the surgery will be successful. And we pray that she will be restored to health and strength again. Bless George and the family at this time. Give grace and help through this period. Remember Alice, the granddaughter of Eileen McDowell. We pray for grace and help through this time. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst minister to Alice tonight. And we pray tomorrow for this chemotherapy and in weeks and perhaps even months ahead, that the hand of God will be upon this young girl, that she will be healed and restored to health and strength. Remember others, O God, that need our prayers in our congregation. The ladies who are going for various procedures tomorrow, Tuesday and Saturday. We pray that Thou will go before them and that Thou will be with them. And that Thou will remember them even tonight. That they may know the touch of God and the healing hand of the great physician. Remember others, O God, that need our prayers too at this time in our congregation. And Lord, those who feel they cannot still come out to worship with us. We pray that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou wilt encourage them, even in their own homes. And Lord, remember our land and all of this pandemic situation, that Thou wilt intervene. And Lord, that Thou wouldst come and that Thou wouldst answer prayer. And Lord, we pray that this land will know the saving power of God. We pray that the hearts of the people will be turned to Thee. And Lord, we pray that the hearts of the people of our nation will be turned to Thee. We heard of the Vice President in America joining with people to pray and to urge the nation of America along with the President to pray. Oh God, we long to hear that in our nation. We long to hear that in our land, that people will turn to God in prayer and that there'll be a call from our leaders and a turning in their hearts even at this time. Lord, we cry unto Thee that Thou wouldst intervene. That Thou wouldst rise up to save us and to deliver us. Remember those affected by this COVID and many other illnesses at this time. We pray for Thine intervention and Thy help. O God, be with us tonight. Remember Thy work in many ways seemed to be hindered by what's happening, but yet Thou hast a purpose. And we pray that You would lead us forward in Thy will. And grant that we might reach out and not be complacent. Deliver us from carelessness in relation to prayer and even church attendance for those who could be here. We pray that Thou wilt stir hearts and visit us again in this congregation with revival. And in this land we pray of Thee, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. We're turning to a hymn. And this hymn, you'll see, we're not singing it now, but Robert's going to play right through. It's appropriate for tonight. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the lambs who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. 669, and just follow it as it's played through and keeping our seats as we do so. have Simon and Hannah with us tonight, and we trust that the Lord will bless them as they share with us. Simon's going to come and introduce his good wife, and then he will speak to us later. I just see this nice soft seat over here, so I think that's a good one for me to sit on. There was somebody sat on it last week. I'm not looking at anyone in particular, but they sat on it last week. I thought, that's a good seat for me. So I'll sit there. I'm sure you won't go to sleep. Simon, God bless you.
Well, it's just lovely for my wife Hannah and myself to be here with you this evening in Ballygowan FPC. First time here. I was asked on the way in, it's probably a right drive for you. Well, it is a brave drive, but in the last few weeks we've been in the Armagh area a lot, and so to be honest, actually it's actually a wee bit shorter than some of the places we've been. We were in Mullaglass there a couple of weeks ago. Now that's 2 hours both ways, so that's 2 hours there, 2 hours home. But we've been really having a really good time, and we really, really appreciate the opportunity to come here this evening and to share of the work of God in Scotland through the Ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship. And my wife Hannah will participate as well this evening. And so you'll find as well that Hannah is not from here, but I'll let her explain exactly where she comes from in the world. But before we get into the presentation that we have this evening, I would like to take some time and just look at God's Word for a few moments. So if you've got a Bible, go ahead and open up to the book of Nehemiah, please. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, and commencing to read from verse 11 down to the end of the chapter. So Nehemiah chapter 2, commencing at verse 11, God's word says, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I rose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates are off or burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sambalat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard of it, they laughed us to scorn, and despised us, and said, What is this thing that you do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them, and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But we have no portion, nor right, nor memorial. But ye have no right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Amen. We'll end there at the end of the chapter. As we look at history, there are many great examples of great leaders. I really enjoy history. I enjoy looking into it. And it's so accessible nowadays with the internet and everything. And of course, one person that we all know of history so well in our own nation is Winston Churchill. And in fact, this past summer, well, the end of May into the start of June, marked the 80th anniversary of the evacuation of Dunkirk. Now, many of you, or at least some of you, will be aware of what happened at Dunkirk. It was known as Operation Dynamo, and it was between late May and early June 1940. And what had happened, of course, was that hundreds of thousands of Allied troops, British and French, had been trapped, essentially, just on the beaches of outside little town of Dunkirk. And it seemed by all measurable standards that the Nazi force would come in, Nazi Germany would come in and simply steamroller over the Allied forces. And essentially the war would be over before it had even really begun. And so Operation Dynamo, which was come from the mind of Winston Churchill, was that his plan was that he would send ships across the English Channel in order to bring as many of the soldiers home as possible before they were annihilated. It was estimated, they had hoped that when this operation was put into place and when they were discussing it in its early stages, they had hoped that they might be able to rescue somewhere in the region of, and this is maybe a modest estimate, but somewhere in the region of 50 to 60,000, certainly under 100,000. And without taking the time to go into all the details of what happened, and really by the providence of God and in the mercy of God, there was several things that happened, including fog coming so that the Nazi planes couldn't hit their targets. But by the end of June 4th, 1940, having sent small sailboats, because they couldn't get the larger vessels to dock near the beach, the call went out for small fishing fleets to sail across the English Channel and to bring as many soldiers home as possible. And the miracle really in it all, and the sheer grace and mercy of God, was that by the end of June 4th, 1940, over 300,000 Allied troops had been rescued from the beaches of Dunkirk. And some of those were some of the same men that some few years later entered into Nazi Germany and overseen victory for the Allied forces. There's no doubt that Winston Churchill had a great hand in that. He was a great leader. For all his faults, he was just a man. But he was a man greatly used. And we come to another man in history tonight, just briefly in this little devotional, that was a great man in history. A man that was greatly used by God, and that is Nehemiah. He, like Winston Churchill, was a great leader. He led the rebuilding efforts of the wall of Jerusalem. He was called of God. We read of that in chapter 1. He was called by God to go and to rebuild the ruined walls of Jerusalem. We pick up our reading, we have read from verse 11, and we see here that he has just landed essentially in Jerusalem. He has spent some days in Jerusalem. And I want to just leave three markers, three characteristics, if you want, things that marked out how Nehemiah went about his work, went about this rebuilding effort. Just three simple thoughts, and I believe that they really point to a man who was greatly used of God, a man who had his heart in the right place, and one who was a great leader, and someone I believe that we can all learn from, not just us who are in ministry, but of course we're all in ministry, aren't we? We can learn something from him wherever we find ourselves in life. And so if you read with me again in verse 12, the first thing I want to share with you is Nehemiah's motivation. His motivation. Verse 12 reads, "And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem." It was just that little phrase there. "Neither told I any man what my God had put on my heart to do at Jerusalem." What was Nehemiah's motivation? Well, evidently here, his motivation was the glory of God. Evidently, his motivation came from God, and he did not arrive in Jerusalem with a heart full of pride, thinking, "Well, I'm the man, and I'm going to do this the way that I want to do it, and these people better basically get whipped into shape quickly." No, he was a man who was motivated solely by the glory of God. He understood that the only way that anything that he did could last, anything that he could do would have any virtue in it, it would have to be for the glory of God. And so his motivation was that God had put this on his heart to do it. And that challenge comes to you and to me as well tonight. In any sphere of life, what is our motivation? What is our motivation in anything that we do in life? What is our motivation for getting up and going to our workplace? What is the motivation for coming to Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church week in, week out, and continuing in local ministry? Why do we do that? Is our motivation the glory of God? Is God our motivation? Is it because God has placed it on our heart to do it? There's another man that could say something like that. He comes from up round, or he came from up round our neck of the woods up near Londonderry, by the name of T.S. Mooney. He's long gone now, but many years ago he led what was known as a Crusaders class, which was essentially a Bible class for boys, maybe something akin to a BB, but it was known as the Crusaders class. And this man, T.S. Mooney, led this Crusaders class for 50 years. And after he had retired, he had stepped down. Someone asked him one day, what was your motivation? How did you keep being so faithful? How did you just keep teaching year after year after year for 50 years? What was your motivation? What kept you going and all that? And his response, I believe, is pointed and quite remarkable. He says, I wanted every boy to have a Bible in their hand, a Savior in their heart, and a purpose in their life. I wanted every boy to have a Bible in their hand, a Savior in their heart, and a purpose in their life. And I think that's something that all of us can take. And certainly as we come to share of ministry tonight, and I trust you'll be encouraged, even as you continue ministry, that's a great purpose to have. That every boy, every girl would have a Bible in their hand, a Savior in their heart, and a purpose in their life. But moving on quickly, we've seen in the first place Nehemiah's motivation. Let's look now at his examination. And we find that in verses 13 through to 15. Without taking the time to read them all again, it's really Nehemiah going from each position in the gates. He goes around each of the gates, each of the different sections of the wall of Jerusalem, from verse 13 through to 15. And what is he doing? He's examining the walls of Jerusalem. He is saying, well, what is the need? Where is the greatest need? Where do I need to put most of my time? Where do I need to put most of my effort, or our effort? Where does most of the resources need to go in? Things like that may have been some of the questions that he had on his mind. But it was just a simple reconnaissance mission, essentially. He just wanted to see, well, how bad are things, really? What is the situation like? And I am sure that as Nehemiah went around and as he observed the walls of Jerusalem, that Scripture tells us here were broken down and were burned with fire. I'm sure that there were many things that came to his mind, and I'm sure that he took many notes and in terms of where he would need to start and where he would need to put most of his time, but I'm sure that the overarching thing that was in his mind was this, that there is no way that I, or these few men, as the Bible tells us, and tells us there in verse 12 that he and a few men rose in the night. There's no way that I and these few men can possibly complete this task ourselves. It would be impossible for us to go and to take on this great task and to accomplish it ourselves. Even as much as God has called us and as God has called us to lead this, there's no way I need God's people to come alongside and to help us in this great task. And so he went around and he examined, and that was the overarching thought, I'm sure. As much as he took note of many things that needed to be done, he acknowledged, I'm sure, in his heart, that I need God's people to come alongside. There's no way that I can complete that myself. You know, we find similar teaching in the New Testament, and in fact, that's pretty much what Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 10, well-known verses. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus sends out his disciples two by two. And then in verse 2 it says this, Luke 10, 2 says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And you know, we can all relate to that, can't we? He was sending out the disciples, but what were they to do when they got to the harvest? They were to pray that more laborers would come. And surely all of us, any of us that are involved, it doesn't matter whether we're in full-time ministry or if you're here and you're just involved in the local ministry here in your local church, We all know and understand that when you step out to do any form of ministry, whether it's children's ministry, whether it's evangelism, door to door, there is always such a great need. And once you step out and you begin to see that need, almost one of the first things that comes to your mind is, there is a need for more laborers. There is a need for many more people. There are so many people that could go on teams. There's so many more people that could come and assist. And even if we had, at times, 20, 30 more people, it still wouldn't be enough because the need is so vast. And so, I'm sure it was a prayer of Nehemiah's as he examined, as he saw the need of the work firsthand. It was he, like we are instructed in Luke 10:2, that he was praying also for more laborers. Then just finally, we want to see, well, how did he go about, and this is important, how did he go about actually encouraging the men of Jerusalem and the leaders to take on this great work? Well, find that with his exhortation. If you read again verses 16 and 17, where it says, "And the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." The first thing is, he's very honest with them. The first part of verse 17, he said unto them, "You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Nehemiah was not sugarcoating the situation here. He was fully aware, and he was pointing out now to the leaders that the need was great, and that they need to look and see the distress that they are in. And it's not until we see the need that we're actually then, that God uses that to challenge us to do something about it. If you don't see the need, then you'll never do anything about it. But Nehemiah comes and he doesn't sugarcoat it. But then it's really encouraging because he says, verse 18, "Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And he said, Let us rise up and build." Well, how does he exhort them? See, he could have just come in and been critical. But no, it was exhortation. And how did he do it? He went back to his motivation. He says, "And I told them of the good hand of my God which was upon me." He wasn't pointing to himself. He wasn't pointing to the fact that he was this great leader, but he pointed them to the Lord. And he says that if we are going to accomplish this great task, it will be by the grace of God and through the strength that God gives us. And so he pointed to his motivation. And when they saw the hand of God and how God had prepared even the king's heart to send Nehemiah and the resources and the materials, then that is when they responded at the end of verse 18, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for this good work. And I trust that as we share just for some time this evening of ministry amongst boys and girls in Scotland and how God has led us to this point, that you'll be encouraged to partner with us and that you'll be encouraged to strengthen your hands even to pray for us as we go forth. We need your prayers, and just like Nehemiah, we need God's people. We believe passionately that God has chosen the means of the local church, that it's through the local church as the main means that evangelism will go forth. And so as a local church, we plead for your encouragement and for your prayers as we move forward. And so we just close there with our thoughts there in Nehemiah. And we go in, and that's really our theme this evening, as Nehemiah was a man who was building. Very much the ministry of CEF in Scotland is a building ministry. It's very much a new ministry, and we'll share some of that this evening. But perhaps some of you may not be as familiar with who Child Evangelism Fellowship are. Well, I'll tell you a story first, actually, from their president, Reese Kaufman, and he shared a story just a few years back, where he was out in the land of, or out in the continent of Africa, out at a conference. And when he got to Africa, he was meeting with the workers there. And one of the workers began to retell him a story to him. The worker began to tell him of a local school in a local village. And in this village, the school, it was a very good school. It taught the children well. They were well educated. But there was one problem. And it was this, that where this school was located in this village in Africa, there it was located on the top of a cliff. And sadly, many times when the children would be out playing, either before school or during break time or after school, many children would get too close to the edge, and they would fall off and they would injure themselves, or sadly, sometimes they would even die. And part of the reason for that was because there was no clinic or hospital within many, many miles of where this school was. And so it was often a long, painful, slow journey to get to the nearest help, to the nearest clinic. And so the local village got together because they felt, well, we need a solution. And what was the solution that they came up with? Well, essentially, there was two groups of people. And the first group of people, they were all excited, and they thought, well, we know what we'll do. What we will do is we will build a clinic at the bottom of the cliff. And then if something happens, then we don't have far to go in order to get them the care that they need. But there's another group of people, and they stood up and said, well, no, we don't need a clinic, and there's nothing wrong with clinics, and clinics are good, and they have their use and their purpose. But that doesn't really solve the problem, does it? What we really need is a good, strong fence around the top of the cliff. But sadly, by the time the second group had begun to speak up about maybe building a fence, sadly, by that stage, the first group of people were already so excited, and the people in the village were so excited about the prospect of building their own clinic, that they'd already went on and began to build the clinic. And so there was just a small group of people who quietly laboured to build the fence. Rhys Kaufman made the point, he was speaking this, obviously retelling this story later on. He says, that is the work of Child Evangelism Fellowship. We are involved in building the fence. We are not clinic builders, we are fence builders. We seek to take the gospel to children where it is needed, on the front lines, to evangelize them. For you who perhaps don't know so much about who CEF are, CEF, it's just the symbol of them. They have four main purposes. The first purpose is to evangelize children with the gospel. The second one is to disciple them in God's word. And thirdly, is to see those children then established in a local Bible-believing church. And they do this through their core ministries. And I'm sure all of these will be familiar with you. So CEF's core ministries are these, that in the winter months, essentially, is Good News Club. It's often called Good News Club. It might be called something else. But that's just a weekly or bi-weekly or sometimes a monthly club held in a church or in someone's home. And then in the summer months, their core ministries are five-day clubs and holiday Bible clubs, which five-day clubs are held predominantly, of course, in the open air, in estates, and are an effort, really, of evangelism to reach unreached children. And then holiday Bible clubs are held traditionally within churches or within community centres. And, of course, they have other ministries, but that is their core ministries. And their fourth purpose, then, is to edify, equip, and encourage the local church. This is really important. As I mentioned earlier, I'm very passionate, both my wife and I, are very passionate about local church ministry. Very passionate about that. We believe that the local church is the vehicle by which God has chosen to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, and it is the primary means that it should be done in a local context. And so CEF exists, and the fourth purpose is to equip, to encourage, and to edify the local church, to serve the local church where and when possible. And so that's just a little bit about who CEF are. But how did we get here? This is a picture from camp last year, which is another ministry. But how did we come to be here this evening talking to you in Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church? How did my wife Hannah and I get here? So we would just want to, the points we have tonight, we want to talk about how God is building the ministry. That's been our theme. And so we want to think just briefly about how God has been building the ministry in our hearts. How did God call us into the ministry of CEF? And then specifically, how did he lead us specifically to the land of Scotland and lay that burden on our hearts? Well, for me, I was saved as a boy of 11 years of age. I live just outside, or we now live just outside of Londonderry. So we're living right up where I was brought up. And so I've always attended Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. We still attend there, of course, today. But I didn't know really much. I knew of who CEF were, because we used their material in the church, and I had an idea of who they were. And it wasn't until 2015 that I really got more engaged, I suppose, with who CEF were and of what they did.
Now, at this point in my life, I'd already known that God was challenging me about full-time service. I remember as a young man of 19 or 20, and being challenged by the words of 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Now, it was in the days that Samuel ministered to Eli. Now, the word of the Lord was precious or scarce in those days, for there was no open vision. And I remember as a young man asking God, what is it to have a vision? What is it to have a vision for the lost? Sometime later, God spoke to me again, this time more pointedly through the words of Psalm 144 and the verse 12, where it says that our sons may be as plants growing up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. And just that specific nature there of the next generation. And I had a great heart for the next generation. I felt that I just knew that there was a great need to reach not just children but young people. And I suppose at that stage, even as a young man, I knew many young people who were far away from God, young people who didn't know anything of God. And so here was God specifically challenging me about what it is to serve the next generation. In that verse 12 of Psalm 144, the word youth really has the idea of essentially from toddler to adolescent. That's really the scope there that word means. And so fast forward, as I said, on, I began to just serve locally in my own church in Londonderry. I had spoke to my own minister and sought wisdom and was praying about God's leading. In 2015, God gave us the opportunity to take a 15-week training course with CEF in my local area in northwest Ulster. And so that was a 15-week training course. And by the end of it, I was just so enthused by just how what the training gave me. It really gave me great tools and skills, and just how they presented the need for children's ministry and child evangelism was a great challenge to me. So fast forward a year later, and again, in the sheer providence of God, I had the opportunity to complete the full-time training course with CEF here in Northern Ireland. Now, normally you would have to go to Switzerland. Their headquarters used to be in Switzerland. But through numerous reasons, it had come that they were going to run the full-time course in Kilkeel, of all places. They have a camp centre there, Seaview in Kilkeel. And so for 6 weeks residentially in 2016 and then the following year in 2017 for 5 weeks between October and December, I completed the full-time training course that the Child Evangelism Fellowship offered. And it was there that I also met my wife Hannah. And it was at that stage as well that I knew by the end I spoke to my then minister, the Reverend Julian Patterson. He encouraged me. I spoke to him at the very end of the course and I remember ringing him, being greatly challenged, knowing that God was calling me at this point into the ministry of CEF. And he simply says, Simon, I've been waiting for your phone call, and I've been praying for you. And as Hannah and I began to talk and share, I knew that she had a heart for mainland Britain. I knew that she was planning to go up and spend some time there. But to just share, I don't want to take all the time. I want to let Hannah go up because she has spent time in Scotland. So I want her to come up just in a couple of minutes to share specifically about what God is doing, how God is building ministry in Scotland. But there's a couple of stories I just want to recount to you briefly of how God really, in a wonderful way, led us and guided us even to Scotland. I was in a period of training. As I said, I knew Hannah had a heart for Scotland. I had given her some contacts, and I began to pray about ministry in Scotland. I had I'd been to Scotland numerous times, but I couldn't get Scotland out of my mind. And as Hannah and I was talking, and as she spent some time there, some contacts bore fruit, people that I knew, people that have went from here and been involved in ministry. And then God spoke very specifically, once again. Because again, this was a new work. There was no full-time work at all in Scotland anywhere with CEF. And so the challenge was to go into a vacant area, essentially. And then God spoke through Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 18, where it says, there is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth, neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. And I knew the early part there, that's shortly after finishing the training, I knew that God had given us that verse, and that was a great challenge. And Hannah and I both began to pray about ministry in Scotland. And later on, we got engaged, and we knew that God was calling us into the ministry in Scotland. Hannah will tell you more specifically, but some of the miraculous things, of course, Hannah needs a visa. She's from America. I have to tell you that as part of mine, so I've sort of burst up a little, haven't I? But she came from the United States and had been over, obviously, on a visa. And last year, with all the visa issues, there had been some issues with the work visa. And we were in the middle of ministry. We were just working in our local area at this stage in northwest Ulster. And we were helping out in camp ministry. And God spoke again through, we were preparing lessons on the book of Joshua. And it was when the children of Israel, they were just on the outskirts of the city of Jericho. And they were about to, they were scared. And God gave them the promise that I will give this city into your hand. And at this stage, we knew that God was calling us to Scotland, but we didn't know how that would work out. By all accounts, it was very possible that Hannah may not even get back into the country. And so there was many hurdles ahead of us, but I knew that that was a promise from the Lord. He had a place and a purpose for us, a city for us to be in, and I held on to that. In the goodness of God, later on, that visa came through just a couple of weeks after we got married. And we just threw this in here because we got married in a thunderstorm. You only think it rains in Northern Ireland. You should go to Missouri in America. It was quite something. But just leading up to this point as well, as we were just preparing for all of that, we were listening again to a sermon one day. We'd been going through a series on the life of Joseph. And again, we were praying much, and we knew at this stage that the visa issue was moving on and seemed to be progressing well. But again, the call of home, and having ministered in Ireland, in CEF Ireland for some time, and friends speaking, well, you know, there's plenty of opportunity here. But we knew that Scotland was upon our heart. And God spoke again through this series on the life of Joseph. And the preacher was mentioning, got to the point where Joseph was sent by his father to go and fetch his brothers who were out tending to the sheep. And of course, at this point, Joseph would have been well aware that his brothers hated him, that they despised him. And the point was made that it would have been easy for Joseph to simply make an excuse to send, to get a servant to be sent, to get someone else to go in his place. Because why would he go and try and find his brothers when he knows he didn't like, they really despised him. But the point was made that he forsook home comforts. He would rather be obedient to the call and to his father and be obedient and go than to just look for the home comforts and stay at home. And that struck me very much because we love where we live. I've been involved in ministry up in our local area for a number of years. I love the people up there. I love our church. But God had made it clear that there was a great need in Scotland and that that's where we were meant to go. So at this time, we're going to call upon my wife Hannah, and she's going to come forward now and just share for a few minutes about the 9 months or so that she spent living in Scotland prior to us getting married last September. So Hannah, on ahead.
A wee bit shorter here than Simon is. But as he said, my name is Hannah, and I'm originally from the United States, from the state of Missouri. I was very blessed as a child to grow up in a Christian home and Christian family, and to come to know the Lord at a very young age. And I often say that I grew up within CEF. CEF is an international organization, ministry. They're in every single country bar one in the world, and so they are going very strong in the States and in Missouri. And I attended the 5-day club down the street with my sisters every summer and got involved volunteering with them when I was a teenager. But it wasn't until 2012 that I began working with them full-time near my local area. And I knew at that time that the Lord was calling me into Europe, but didn't know when that would be or what that would look like. And in 2016, he opened the door for me to come over here and do an internship program. And I knew as soon as I landed here and after spending time that this was where God had called me to be. Now there's obviously much more to that story of how I came over here and how the Lord was faithful in bringing me there. But for sake of time, we wanted to share more about Scotland and how God has been working that in there through Child Evangelism Fellowship. And so in 2018, I knew that the Lord had called me to Scotland, and I moved over there full time. But one of the things that Simon and I wanted to share was with the story of Nehemiah and how Nehemiah spent that first initial time really walking around the walls and seeing what the need was. And that was what those first 9 months of me being there were. It was really a time of inspecting where the need was, what was God opening up. And it was amazing to see just how God was faithful and showing that he had gone ahead of us in this. And one of the ways that really stuck out to me was during the first few months that I was there. As Simon had said, there's no other CEF worker in Scotland. And for comparison's sake, in all of mainland GB, there are 7 workers. And here in Northern Ireland, there are over 50 in Northern Ireland and Ireland together. And so there's very few workers there. And I didn't know anybody besides that in Scotland. And so one of the things that I felt most keenly was a desire to pray with somebody. As I said, I've been so blessed to have so many friends and family that are believers, and I could call Simon at any time. But I missed that fellowship of having somebody that I knew that I could pray with together in person. And so I asked the Lord and said if he would provide that for me. And it was amazing to see how he answered, because a few weeks later, I got a message over Facebook, of all places, from a woman named Lynn. And she said, "I just found your ministry Facebook page and was so excited to find out CEF was going in Scotland, and I'd love to meet with you for lunch sometime." So we arranged a date, and a few weeks later, again, I find out Lynn's story. Now, Lynn was born in India and had grown up in Dubai, born to a Christian family, knew the Lord, and volunteered with CEF, actually, in Dubai for many years. Before 2 years before I met her, her and her husband moved to Scotland. And when they moved to Scotland, they weren't able to get involved with CEF. They were busy with work and everything and didn't even know if it was there. And after a while, she had really begun to miss children's ministry and getting involved in serving in that way. And so the night that she had found my Facebook page, she had prayed and said, "Lord, I don't even know if CEF is going on in Scotland, but I would really like to get involved if I can." And so then a few hours later, she had found that Facebook page, which is amazing, even just because I don't pay for any of the adverts or anything like that. And it's really just an update for those who pray with me. And that day during lunch, we laughed and we cried, and we were amazed how God had answered both of our prayers to find somebody to pray with together. And besides that, somebody we could both serve alongside, because we both had a heart for children's ministry and were able to do that. So God had shown us that he had gone ahead of Simon and I, and showing us that he was laying a foundation for prayer, but he already had people there. He went ahead of us and showing us where to even be and to serve in ministry. And this is one of my problems here, that I always forget to go on with the slides. So that is Lynn there from the day that we met. But also, as I said, God was showing us that he was showing us where to be in ministry. And so one of the things I first started to do when I went into Scotland was to try and meet as many people as I could. As I said, I really didn't know anybody there when I moved there. And so I attended this woman's Bible conference at a local church. And there were over 500 women that attended on this day. And so, not knowing anybody, I just went and sat smack in the middle. And after a while, began to talk with the woman who was sitting next to me, and her name was Heather. And Heather was amazed to find out that I worked with CEF, because she said 15 years before, she had gone and taken the training program that Simon had mentioned was usually in Switzerland and Europe. And so she was now traveling around to Edinburgh and Scotland, sharing how with churches how they can reach their children using some of the tools she had learned there. And what's more than that, Heather had also spent a short amount of time in Chicago in the States working alongside Moody Bible Institute. And while she had been there, had gotten in touch with the CF workers and served with them. And those CF workers who were in Chicago had previously lived in my hometown and had been my five-day club teachers as a child. And so it was amazing how God had brought the two of us to sit next to each other in the middle of this conference of over 500 women. And she shared with me so many different things, but one of the things that was most important was she said, Hannah, many people would come to Edinburgh and Glasgow and Scotland, and they would go to those big cities because they would see the big churches and just the amount of children and people that they are reaching. And she said, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the churches in between in Edinburgh and Glasgow in that central belt are crying out for somebody to come and to help them to reach their own children and to encourage them. And that was really an answer of prayer for both Simon and I on where we were to serve. And God really opened that door once we had that conversation. And we were able to go and serve alongside a church in Hart Hill, in Plains, in Livingston. He even opened the door for us to go further afield and go up to Gardenstown Free Presbyterian and spend a weekend with them. And when we first moved there, we joked and said that Scotland was our area, but it was amazing how God narrowed that down and showed us exactly where he wanted us to be. And he opened church partnerships and put on the heart of local believers to pray with us and to serve alongside us. And one of those exciting times was during Christmas last year. Now, this was another church connection that we had had. We'd been able in Livingston to partner with a local church and to a Christmas party club. And so we were very excited when we heard from someone we'd never met before named Charles last year in the autumn. And he said, I have a friend, Robert Todd, who owns a farm and a cafe in Fife. And he would really like to open up their cafe and have children come in and share with them what the true meaning for Christmas is. This man had been saved recently, and he had always had children in before to tell him about Santa. And he said, but this year we want to tell him about Jesus. And so we worked alongside them and put together a program for them, and then came over last December. And it was such an encouraging time, not only because there were 30 local children that came and attended, and 30 adults as well, so there was well over 60 people there. But Simon and I both said that even more than that, what we were so encouraged about was that there are so many believers locally that came to help out with this. There were six volunteers that came from a local church, as well as Robert and Charles and a few of their friends that came to get involved in this. And so it was so exciting to see God was laying a foundation of prayer for us. He was going ahead of us and showing us where he wants us to be. And he was bringing alongside the vision and sharing that with other believers there. And we know that God is reaching children in many different ways, and it's because there is such a need, especially in Scotland and in the mainland, for children to hear the gospel. Research shows that statistically, 9 out of 10 children will never go into a church on their own. And so it's so important that these events like cafes or things through the local church and through local believers are being held. And one of those things that we had an opportunity to be a part of was with Child Evangelism Fellowship again. I was a part of a team in 2016 from CF Ireland, and we had a chance to go into these two local primary schools and to share with each year group a one-hour Bible club. Now, this happens quite often over here in Northern Ireland, but it's very uncommon in Scotland for us to have such an opportunity. And so it was very exciting to share with over 500 children during that week the good news of God's redemption plan, how we have a need for a Savior and that Jesus came and died on the cross for us, and that someday all those who have believed in him will get to live in this world, in this new world where there's no sadness, no death, no sickness, and best of all, spend eternity with God himself. And after we shared this message with the children, we gave them a chance to ask questions. And one girl raised her hand and she said, how is this new world going to work without sadness? Because sadness is what we all rally around. And that question really stuck with me because, first of all, I thought I was a young girl who had grown up in a Christian family and always had people to encourage me and to remind me what was true and to point me back to the Bible when I got discouraged. And here is a young girl who can't even imagine a world without sadness, and that's the best thing we have to rally around, and she has no one to tell her that. And here's a classroom of children that have no one to tell them the good news of Jesus, and this is the first time many of them are hearing that. And it also stuck with me because she was thinking about that. She was a 9 or 10 year old little girl who was thinking these deep questions and wanted to know the answer. So it's amazing to see, and we're so encouraged how God has been faithful to us and calling us and preparing the way ahead of us. We know we're not the only ones there in Scotland, that there are other churches and organizations working to reach the children, but we're excited to see how God is going to use us through CEF there in Scotland. Right now, we are involved in online ministry in our local area. We've been working alongside and training alongside Jennifer in the Northwest area, or in Northwest Ulster area, and it's been an interesting experience learning how to do online ministry and being stretched in different ways than we normally would have, but we've been so grateful for that opportunities that God's still been opening to reach children. But alongside that, between now and December, we are still sharing with as many churches and individuals as we can about what God's put on our hearts to do in Scotland, and then our hope is to be able to move to Scotland in that Central Belt area in February 2021 or early springtime. But obviously many of those things are COVID dependent, and there are other prayer requests alongside that, so Simon's going to come here and just share a few things with you as we leave on what you can pray for us on.
Yes, so we do have a few prayer requests here. Hopefully I can bring them up. They are, if I can remember them all. Yes, so just remember the local area here. There is CEF ministry that goes on here in your local area through your local committee and volunteers. So be encouraged by that as well, that there are people seeking to reach out. It was just mentioned there very briefly, really, just with what we're doing at the moment. But really, going forward, ministry is going to be online. And, of course, I know through our own denomination as well, with FPC Kids, everything is now online. And that's good in some ways, but it is also a completely new way of doing ministry. And the reality is that even for Hannah and myself, and I've used laptops for years, and I enjoy that kind of stuff, but even we struggle to learn how to put things together and doing editing. So you're spending more time now behind a computer screen, putting things together, retaking things like 5 or 6 times to do a 4 or 5 minute video. So for a lot of workers and for a lot of people involved in children's ministry at the moment, particularly in online ministry, that's a big challenge. So do pray for that. Pray for wisdom in online ministry in the autumn, particularly between now and the new year, until we see how things are, but it may even be beyond that time. Pray for wisdom for ourselves of when to move to Scotland and for provision. We're very grateful, as we said, to be here. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here and for your minister and your session, for the invitation to come. We have been very grateful, particularly in these days, to be able to be here in person and to share of the need and of God's call in our lives. So we're very grateful for that. But do continue to pray that the support will come in, that we'll raise up prayer support, financial support, and then that we'll know when is the right time, COVID-dependent, to make the move. So that's a big prayer request as well. The next one there is to pray for Hannah's visa, I believe, isn't that? This is a big prayer request. It's also a big praise. So as I said, Hannah, we were working through some visa issues, you might say, last year. But God has been so good, and pretty much a year ago today started the process, or not today, around this time, end of September, a year ago we started the process. And just on Friday past, Hannah got her residency card. So that was a huge answer to prayer. Now, there was one more aspect to that, an online part, thanks to Brexit, of all things. But it's okay. That's now sorted as well. We're just waiting for that to come through, but there shouldn't be any issues. And that will permit my wife, Hannah, to be here for 5 years. And then essentially, we'll be able to apply for citizenship and hopefully no more visas. But do pray for that aspect. Hopefully that'll come through in the next month. But also praise the Lord, because he's been so good and so grateful to have the residency card even for now. as well. Just a couple of other quick ones as we finish up here. Do pray for the children of Scotland. We appreciate that we give a lot of information. You've obviously seen some pictures tonight, but the need is so great. And there's so many children, not only in Scotland, but here and across the UK, that do know nothing of the gospel. And they know nothing of their need of the gospel. So pray for the children of Scotland, particularly in these days when many of them, I'm sure, are finding it difficult. And pray as well for the other local workers. And this is really our final prayer point and also a final praise. So he said in 2018, when Hannah first moved over, she was the only full-time worker in Scotland. But as of today, there is now... there's currently three workers in Scotland presently, and then, Lord willing, when we move over, there'll be five. So that's a wonderful answer to prayer. I think our last picture is just, you'll see John and Martha up there. They just joined at the start of the year. Martha's originally from Galway. John's a Glaswegian, and they're converted Roman Catholics, saved way back in the early 90s, and have just come into the work there at the start of the year. So pray for them. It's been great to have them on board, serving locally in the city of Glasgow. And then also Lydia Hardesty, as you see up there, also from the United States. Now, she will be serving with us locally, more on the Edinburgh area, but she also has a role with CEF within European Leadership Development. Now, that's a big title, but essentially she's involved with a lot of conferences and organising that stuff. So she has a very busy schedule, but she is working with us as well locally. So do pray for them and remember them. That's all we have to say. Again, thank you so much. Thank you to the Reverend Smiley, to the congregation for having us this evening, and trust that the Lord will bless you in the days ahead. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Simon and Hannah. I'm sure our hearts have been challenged and blessed through what we have heard tonight, and there will be that retiring offering there, the offering plate for the missionary will be out there, and also some prayer cards. They're available there on the tables, and you can pick them up. Hannah and Simon are going to be out there somewhere. They'll not be shaking hands with you, but it's quite a big foyer, so you'll be able to at least to greet them and to speak to them on your way past. And we're going to have a hymn. We're going to sing tonight this hymn, 532 in our hymn book. We'd sing it moderately and as we're seated, but it's a very important hymn because I think it fits in really with what we've been hearing. Above thine own ambitions here, another voice is sounding clear. We'll sing, the first and last verses of this hymn, please. Just remain seated, then the brethren who are out there will indicate maybe when you can come out so that not everybody's congregating together. You'd appreciate the times that we're living in. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your presence with us, and we pray that You'll bless our brother and sister. We thank Thee for hearing the challenge to the work in Scotland and all that the way that Thou hast led them. We thank Thee for the hand of God. We thank Thee that Thou art a God who works all things for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. And we pray the Lord of the harvest that He will thrust forth laborers into the harvest field. We pray that You'll bless Your word we've heard tonight. Let us rise up and build. And we pray that that challenge will come to our hearts with power and effectiveness tonight. Bless as we separate, take us on our way rejoicing to our homes in safety, and keep us in these days safe and clear from infections. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.